Can we just for a moment get our eyes off ourselves for a minute? And just as we close our eyes, just for a moment, can we think about what he's done for us and thank him for it? All the different things that he's done. Can we just say, thank you, Father? Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful. You've done so many great things for us. You've done so many awesome things. You've fulfilled so many promises already. You've protected us. You've kept us here. You made us for such a time as this, oh Father. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us. We thank you, oh God, for all the wonderful children we have, for our parents, grandparents. Thank you, Lord, for the pastors that came before us in this house. Thank you, Lord, for the teachers and the ministers that have been ministering through the ages, Father, in this house, in this place, in our lives. We thank you, God. There's so much we're just so thankful for. So much. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Worship you. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. If we're not grateful, man, we're in trouble. I'll tell you that. Boy, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. Amen. Isn't that right, Jack? Come on, Jack. It's good stuff. So what the Lord was speaking to me today that he wanted to talk about was the mundane. How many of you know what the mundane is? It's the mundane. It's just the ordinary, the regular, the things that are just going to happen. You wake up in the morning. You got to brush your teeth. That's very mundane. I pray that you do. Because if you don't, you might have some cavities. And then going to the dentist is not a very mundane, fun thing to do if you have to get teeth pulled. I'm just telling you. Right off the bat, it's not fun. I've had a cavity, and it's not fun to have cavities. It's not a good time. But it's mundane. You know, there's a lot of mundane things that we do. Sometimes we have to change the sheets in our beds. It's a good idea to do that. That's very mundane. We have to wash clothes. Very mundane, but we have to do that. We have to eat. Now, I like to spice up my food a little bit and make it a little bit less mundane sometimes because I'm like, I like to go out to eat, nice place sometimes, or I like to, hey, I'll get this special food, or I like my Chinese and my pizza, and I love eating these things, so it's not as mundane because usually every day at work I have a salad. Some of you are like, I can't believe you eat a salad, man. Yes, I eat a salad every day at work practically. It's okay. Salad's for the win. It's okay. But it's not a regular salad, though. I'm just going to let you know that. It's called a meat salad. And if you ask my coworkers, it's about 7 different meats and a little bit of lettuce. And that's it. I mean, it's really what it is. It's a meat salad. I eat a salad every day. It's good. I like it. Sometimes we'll put some, you know, we'll put some grilled chicken in there. Sometimes I ate steak before. I'll put some steak strips in there. Sometimes it's, I'll put chicken, I'll put ham, I'll put all these different things in it. I make it not mundane. That's what I do. And then I sprinkle a little bit of lettuce on top, you know. A little bit of lettuce on top, and that's it. That's what I do. I make it so much no more mundane. But how many of you know that mundane can be so boring? My gosh, getting up, going to work. Oh, that wonderful drive as you're just there and you're like, you're just seeing, you know it's coming. Here's my exit. I got to go. Can I go home? No. Should I call off? No. You know, all those things. I'm just being honest. I mean, if you didn't say those things went through your head, then you're lying. I'm just saying that right now. So the mundane, there's a lot of things that mundane. Did you know that Jesus did mundane things? He did. And that's funny because the Lord spoke to me. So John 4:3. So we're going to look about Jesus because he is the great author and the finisher of our faith. And even he had to do some mundane things, which is like, wow, Jesus did mundane things? Yes, he did. He had to walk everywhere. He didn't have a car. I know, that just blows some people's minds. It's like, wow, how'd he get there? You mean he didn't get translated to different places or teleported? No, he had to walk. That's what they had to do. I mean, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, let's just get there. Boom, we're done. We're there. And that's it. 2 seconds, boom, I'm there. But he had to walk. So in John 4:3, So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. And verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little geography lesson real quick for those of you that like that. So Galilee is right here. It's a region. It's a province. It's like Cumberland County. You know, it's right where it is. Then you have Samaria, which is another province or region, and then you have Judea underneath it. So Jesus was on his way back from Judea back to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. Now, Samaria is where the Samaritans lived as well, and those were people that the Israelites did not get along with, didn't they? They didn't get along with them very well. So he had to go through that region. And then when he went through that region, we see in verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now, there is so much we can go into from this text. And if you are like me, you're like, oh, I know what's coming up next. I know Jesus is going to talk to the Samaritan woman. There's going to be a revelation there, an illumination that's going to happen. And it's going to change the course of Sychar. But something happened before all that did. The mundane. Jesus had to go through there. There wasn't anything special. Wasn't anything special about that town. Jacob's well was there. That was nice, but there wasn't anything special. There wasn't some nice headlights or, you know, line lights of the city or anything like that. It wasn't, this was the best place to get water because it was the most amazing purified water in all of Samaria. No, there was nothing special about this town. It was a mundane town on the way for the journey. And that was it. But yet, even though the mundane was happening, Jesus recognized an opportunity. Folks, I'm here to say, even though we have a lot of mundane things going on, are we recognizing opportunities? Come on. Come on. I mean, I know every time I would drive, when I was in college, I had to drive from the southernmost part of Virginia, which is like 5 minutes from the border of North Carolina, all the way up to New York, Lima, New York, to go to Bible school. It was a 12-hour drive for college. It was a very mundane trip. I'm just going to let you know that right now. Unless there was snow, then it was very different. Then it was a tale of life and death. Because I was a Virginia boy trying to make it in a northern snowy world, and boy, it was rough. I ain't going to lie there. And I didn't know what, I knew what snow was. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, oblivious. I'm like, what's that white stuff? Is that manna from heaven? No, that's snow. You know, I mean, I wasn't oblivious like some of my friends were from New Orleans. That's another story. We'll cover that later. But it was just like, okay, how do you drive in this stuff? I remember making one trip up there that I should not have been in at all. And thank you, Lord, that he blessed me and got me there because there was no roads where I was traveling on. I couldn't see the road. All I saw was snow around it. And if you're going up 15, you know how treacherous those roads can be, don't you? I'm like looking up the, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. You know, I'm thinking, I can see the picture of myself, and I'm with one of my friends. We're driving up to Elam. His name is Caleb. We're driving to Elam together, and I'm like thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe this wasn't a good idea. You know, I'm thinking up there, man. That trip became a little bit less mundane because I was fearing for my life. So, you know, that can change the mundane. But I also remember other trips that were very mundane when I was driving from Virginia to New Orleans, which that is a 17-hour drive when me and my family lived down there. That's a drive right there. Now, at the time, I wasn't able to drive, so my mom drove the whole time. God bless her. I don't know how she did it, but she did it like one shot. Boom. and we were there. It was amazing. So I totally honor her in that, which is amazing. But boy, how many times did I pray, Lord, can't you just speed the trip up, you know? I mean, we got down to Atlanta, which was kind of halfway, and we're like, oh, Lord, help it. And then when I got older, I was able to fly to New Orleans. Now, let me tell you, I like flying a lot better than driving. I like to get to my destination and let's go. I'm ready to be there. Don't tell me about the journey. Let's just get there. Let me just get there. And it's true. We like to get there as a people. How many of you like to take the scenic route? A few of you are like, yeah, I like to take the scenic route sometimes. But if you've got somewhere to be and that place is special, how many of you know that that scenic route isn't so special anymore? If you're like, hey, I got to be there to be with my family, or hey, I got to be there to because I have this special presentation going on, or this great thing waiting for me, or I have this celebration, or I have this wedding, or things like that, and you got to get there. Then you're like, well, the scenic trip isn't for me anymore. I need to get there. Jesus needed to be in Galilee, and he needed to get there because he had things to do, but he had to go through Samaria first. And so he was able to stop off and see and encounter this Samaritan woman along the way. How many times have we gone through our mundane and missed the opportunity? Because we just weren't ready. We weren't alert where our spiritual antennas weren't awake, as I might say. Our spiritual ears weren't listening. Not saying we don't listen to God or anything like that. I'm just saying that we weren't as ready to engage in what the Lord has for us because we were just too focused on getting to the destination. I mean, it happens. It happens. I'm not saying, and I'm not here to say, ha, I got you. I'm here speaking to myself as well. It's true. We can all do that. And it happens very often sometimes. You're like, man, I could have missed that opportunity. Let's turn to Luke 10. Let's go to Luke 10 and verse 25. So if you got your Bibles, turn them there or on your little phone. I like to use my Bible app. That's where I use a lot nowadays. Although, funny story, I was going to preach this from my Bible, but I realized my Bible's in Virginia. And I was like, man. So I was like, man. It's my dad's Bible. It's my favorite Bible. And I'm just like, man, I left it down there. So I gotta get that back. But I was like, I was gonna read it, then I'm like, oh no, I'm missing that. So that was when we were at the conference the other week, and I'm like, oh, I gotta get that. So I wasn't gonna preach from that, but you know what? Hey, maybe I'll just make a trip back. That's what I think I can do. My wife's gonna be like, no. So Luke 10. So some of you know this story very well. Luke 10, 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by him on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to him in an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, a lot of you know this story, and there is so much you can pull from this story. I mean, the woman at the well, there's a lot of stuff we pulled out. this story as well. A lot of stuff you can pull it out. But the Lord really highlighted one thing during this message that he wanted to talk about. And the thing was, it was interesting, during this story, it says, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by him on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, there's a lot of different things that we could say was going on. Maybe they had something very important to do. Maybe they were late for, you know, synagogue. Maybe they had a meeting. Maybe they had some counseling. Maybe they had a reading of the Torah. Maybe there's a lot of things that could be going on in this picture. But the Lord really highlighted to me is there's one thing that these men weren't willing to do. They weren't willing to stop by because they didn't have something. There's something they're missing. Even though they were doing something very mundane, there's something they were missing. They were missing the word time. Think about that. How many times do we get stuck in the mundane and use just that time to get there when we don't realize there's something else that God might want to do? Time. I know that everyone likes to go grocery shopping. It's a good thing. I agree. You should go grocery shopping because you need to eat. And we all need to eat so we can live. And that's a very important thing. How many times have you gone into Walmart and be like, I just want to get in and get out. I don't want anything else. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to get in and get out. I'm the same way. I'm not saying I'm not. I want to get in and get out. I remember when I was little, when I was smaller than Sam, my mother would spend 3 hours in the grocery store, walking up and down every aisle at Harris Teeter, Kroger, or Food Lion, which those are southern stores. You don't have them up here. They're kind of like your Weiss or your Giant or your Wegmans, things like that. That's what they're equivalent to. But she'd walk and it would take hours. It would feel like. Wasn't so bad at Harris Teeter because we got a free cookie there if we went to the bakery. But you could only get one, and that was it. And then you're like, oh, I gotta ration it or somehow. But it was so like it would took for so long. And I'm like, when I get older, I'm just going in and going out. That has nothing doing anywhere else, not talking to anybody. I just want to get in and out. How many of you know if you have that mindset that your spiritual antennas aren't going to be going up? If that's what you're doing, you're not there for anything else, you're there to get in and get out. It's very mundane to you. And what the Lord is saying, if you don't make time for me to move, you're not going to make time to bless somebody else. See, it's funny because even though Jesus tells a story about this, when the Lord highlighted to me time is something they were missing. How much time do we have for others? Now, I know when I wake up in the morning, I am ready to go. I'm just like 10 minutes till the clock rings, and then I'm right on to work, and boom, boom, boom. I'm just like really very rushed in my time. But the Lord had to correct me on that and said, hey, you need to allow more time for me if I want to do something through you. What if there is a man stranded on the road? Do you have time to help him? What if somebody needs prayer and you meet them in the grocery store, you meet them out while you're out and about? Do you have time? It's a very mundane thing you might be doing, but do you have time to actually do something about it? Imagine if Jesus, in his mundane thing, didn't have time. That woman at the well would have been a totally different story. We would have seen totally something different happen in Sychar, because none of that would have happened. Jesus would have went about his journey, got his drink, got some food, and boom, he was gone. That was it. But because the Father gives us time, can't we give time to others? And like I said, I'm not here to preach at you. I'm not here to to discourage you. And what maybe you're like, well, Van, you know what? I have been doing that. I'm not here to say, oh, we got you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to say, hey, provoke you to righteousness. Say, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to give myself a little bit more time in the mornings. Maybe I need to do something. If it have some leeway room if something were to come up, or I need to take another 5 minutes in my car before I get to work and pray for all my coworkers. Or pray for my boss. Maybe he needs that. Maybe he needs a lot of prayer, or she. Maybe it's an extra 5 minutes of time. Or maybe I'll get so organized, and I'm not against organization, but so prompt where I have no extra minutes in the day to spend on anyone or anything except for what I need to do. Can I get an amen? Is it something hitting home now a little bit? It's like, oh, Pastor Van, you bringing a little bit of fire today. Well, yes, that's what he brings. His word is a two-edged sword. It cuts through the bone and marrow, right to the heart. And when we don't use this sword properly, that's when we get in trouble. It's true. I mean, the word of God is a living, his living word, his living word to us. And if we try to put foam on it, it's not very effective, is it? Have you ever seen try to put foam on a sword or something like that and try to cut with it then? Put foam on the inside, outside of a big, think of this big old sword, right? A big old broad sword. You just think of it like you see in the movies, big old thing. You put foam on the edge of it, it's not going to cut at all. It's very ineffective. That's not what we're supposed to do with his word. Let it be effective. But let us do it in love. Let us enjoy when the Lord provokes us. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Can we go after that? Can we do that? Amen. So the mundane. Can we get out of the mundane times? I love to get out of the mundane. And the way to get out of the mundane and those things happening is to put your spiritual antennas up, to be listening to what the Lord might say. Because it becomes supernatural then. It becomes divine appointments then. And you're like, man, it's so good when that happens. Do you remember a time when someone took time out for you? Do you remember that time? I know I have many of them. When people were going on their journeys, going on their ways, and they said, you know what? I'm taking my time for you because God highlighted you. Because they had their spiritual antennas up, and they were like, okay, I think God wants to do something in you. I remember it very, very much in my life. When I was in New Orleans, I was there for a year. I was a part of a youth group down there. I was doing things. And a man of God said, I want to spend time with you. Changed my whole life. His name was my mentor, James. He said, man, I want to take time. He was involved with youth group. He could have been with anyone else. And he was just helping out. And he could have done anything else. But he said, you know what? Man, I want to take time with you. I want to show you some things that the Lord's showing me. It was huge. Huge on my life. And I thank him for that. And do you remember the times that someone took time out of their schedule for you? Maybe it was preaching, or maybe it was your time of salvation. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. I don't know what you're going through, but can I pray for you for a moment? Can we do that, church? Because that's been done to us. God wants to move in our hearts. He wants to move in our lives. And not just so that we can receive it. It's great to receive these things. Man, I love it. But we need to give them to others. We need to give that time to them as well. Because there are lost, dying, and hurting people that we have no idea what's going on. Because we're stuck in the mundane. We're stuck there. And then in that mundane, we don't have the time to be able to do anything with them. Let's turn to Mark 11, and this will be my last scripture. Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 12. Now, I'm not going to preach 3 hours yet. I'm still waiting for that time. Don't worry. It's coming, though. Saving up my minutes for a three-hour sermon. I'll let you know, though. There won't be anybody here that morning if I let you know beforehand, though. So it'll just, oh, I'm 3 hour sermon. Up there it is. I'm just kidding. 3 hours, that's a long time to preach, though. I ain't gonna lie. For me, that'd be a long time. Some people are blessed, and they could go 4 or 5 hours. And I'm like, man, I don't know. That's a blessing. So Mark 11:12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Hey, Jesus gets hungry too. What do you know? Just like me. I'm more like Jesus every day. All right. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find it if he had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not in the season for figs. And then he said to the tree, may no one eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. We're going to skip down to verse 20 real quick. Boom. Verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. 21. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. May forgive you your sins. A lot of stuff going on in this one as well. But I want to point out to you this tree. And this is what the Lord showed me. This tree. Now, seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find if they had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And then he said to the tree, may no one eat the fruit from you again. That sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? I'm like, man, that poor tree. It wasn't even the season for it. But yet, it's funny. Even though it wasn't the season for it, there were still leaves there. In our lives, there might be a lot of seasons that happen to us, right? And there are a lot of seasons that happen. Some are happy seasons. Some are not so happy. Some are great seasons. Some are not so great. Some are amazing seasons. We're like, yes, nothing can go wrong. And then some seasons, nothing can go right. And it's funny about trees. Did you know that trees don't eat their own fruit? Did you know that? We don't have cannibal trees out there. Wouldn't that be crazy? Be wild, isn't that? Wouldn't that be a weird thing? A cannibal tree. I'm an apple tree, and I only eat apples. Wouldn't that be a little strange? You have seeds from there, but that's not the. They're not consuming the seeds. What do trees eat? What do trees eat? Can somebody tell me? Is someone brave enough to say what brings nourishment to a tree? Soil. Yeah. Nitrogen. Yeah. What else? Sunlight. Oxygen, but not fruit or figs or anything like that, correct? The purpose of the tree is for fruit, correct? The fruit is for others to enjoy it, not the tree to enjoy it. Here we go. Here's your spiritual principle. We don't need to live off of what we're creating. It's not for us to live. It's not for us to feed on. We're supposed to be refreshed by Him. And what He gives us produces fruit for others that we may share with them. We were never supposed to live off our own. We're supposed to be tapped into Him. Come on, somebody. We were never supposed to live off our own fruit. We're living from the nourishment of Him. Because when we start living, trying to live off our own fruit, what are we going to do? We're going to wither away and die. And in every season, there's fruit coming in. Even though this tree didn't have, it wasn't the season of figs, and there's a whole other story backing into that, and whole things, I'm not going to get into that. But every season, we're producing fruits. Whether, and it's going through the mundane, that mundane time that we're going through. Every season, we're producing something. What are we producing, though? Is my other question. Well, we mean, what am I producing? Well, you're producing something. You're always producing something. You're always replicating something in your life. Whether you realize it or not, or maybe you're not spending time doing that a lot, where you might say, well, I don't spend too much time with that person. You're still replicating something. You're still producing something. And the people that are around you will partake in whatever you're producing. And are you producing good fruit? Are you producing good stuff? And if you are, it's great. It's great because there's so much great things that you have. God has created this body of believers for great things. I've been trying to tell you this, and if you haven't got it, please, 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 please get it today. There is greatness inside of you. There is gold inside of each and every one of you that God wants to pull out and use for His glory and for your fulfillment. What do you mean, my fulfillment? You will never be, and I say this again, I might sound like a broken record, but it's true. You will never find the fullest fulfillment of your life until you're serving with Him and doing His will. And when you put those two together, your will and His will, and you mesh those up and say, God, I put you first, and then I'm going to fulfill your will in my life, and I want to do it with the right attitude. There is nothing else that gives you the fulfillment in the world. Nothing else. Nothing else can even come close. When I'm ministering to people, I know what God is doing. I am partnering with Him. There is such great fulfillment in that. But I don't do it just because of my fulfillment. I'm doing it because He wants to do it. He wants to minister. I like to minister. But when me and Him are on the same page, man, that's so good. It changes lives and changes amazing things in my life. And so I can serve Him even greater. So many good things in this group. I love to see you working it. I love to see these things happening to you. And if you're like, well, I'm just not sure what to do, come and ask us. Say, you know, Pastor Ben or Pastor Steph or Pastor Kurt, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. Come and ask us. Let's pull out the gold inside of you. Let's see what God wants to do inside of you. Because every one of you guys has gifts. And every one of you has gold inside that God wants to pull out and refine. He's got gifts inside of you that you're like, well, I didn't know I had that there. Yes. Because He wants to bring it out. It's good stuff. But you have to be willing. God has good fruit in store for you to reproduce. And it's not for you. It's for others who are in contact with you. Come on, church. We can do this. We can do this. This is good stuff. So I just want to challenge you today as I end. Don't let the mundane rob you of being a light. Don't let the mundane leave someone that's broken and bloody along your path and leave them there and not be able to share Jesus with them or be able to care for them. Maybe it's not, maybe they don't get saved. That's okay. Maybe it's just a prayer. Maybe it's sowing a seed and that's it. It says that most Christians come today, it says that most Christians have at least seven or eight times experience with a positive encounter with the Lord before they actually get saved. Seven to eight times. That means there's seven to eight seeds that happen before the harvest. So in the mundane, can we have time though? Can we allow time to say, hey, I'm putting up my spiritual antennas and I'm just not doing the mundane. I am putting forth time just in case God wants to use me in this. Whether it's praying for someone, whether it's prayer, whatever it is. Or maybe it's even helping someone along the way. And then once we're there, can we share what God's doing in our hearts? Share that good fruit that God's doing in us. Can we do that? I want to encourage everyone. I've not really said this before, but I'm going to say it now because I really feel the stirring. And I've been not opposed to doing this, but I haven't really, from the pulpit, been advocating this. But now I really feel like it's time. It's time to really start advocating what you're doing. It's time to say, hey, you know what? Maybe it's time to invite some friends to church. Maybe it's time to say, hey, let me pray for you. I really feel in my spirit it's time for us as a body to start going after some people. And say, hey, maybe it's somebody that, you know, it's been on your heart that you've been praying for. Invite them here. Maybe it's a buddy, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, whatever. Or maybe it's someone on the internet. I don't know. Someone you have a relationship with on the internet, a friendship. And say, why don't you come here? And let's see what God wants to do. Let's see what God do some great things. Because I know here, we take time to let God speak, don't we? We take time to let God move how he wants to do here. And if he wants to end my sermon early, I'm okay with that. I know the pastoral team will be like, hey, we're good. If he wants to change the order of service, we're fine with that. We don't mind. I don't have to get up here and speak. It doesn't bother me. I'm all about my Father's business. And there'll be times, I'm sure, in the future where you won't get a sermon. And that's all right. I'm not worried about that. There might be a time of day where we just spend all the time just praising, worshiping, worshiping him. And I might have a time where our faces are on the floor because his glory is in this place so much that we can't physically maintain that. Come on. There are great things going to happen in this house. But we have to be ready, church. And it's time to start coming out of the shadows of Newville and really assert ourselves as who we are in Christ. So I'm going to say this now, where I haven't been saying it before. It's time for us to really show off, show up. And what's the last part of it, Mike?
Show up and show off.
There it is. However you want to say it, yeah. I got two out of three. I'm close. But it's time. It's time to start inviting people. It's time to see what God wants to do. And just by, you know, and maybe it's like, hey, blessing them first. But bless them. Show off that fruit that God's been doing in your life. Make that time. Don't let the mundane steal from you what the Lord wants to do in you and through you. Amen? All right. Well, let's just close in prayer. And I just want you to take just a moment to yourselves, because this is a personal decision for you on whether you're going to acknowledge this challenge that the Lord is really laying at your feet and say, hey, are you going to do this? It's decision time. Because he gave it to me to give to you to challenge you about this. Are you really going to do it? And I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I want you in your heart saying either, yes, this is for me, or like, Lord, help me get to that place. So, Father, right now, I accept your challenge. I say, Lord, Help me not to make the mundane, even though there was lots of things that have to go on in my life, lots of things that have to go on that are very mundane. Lord, help me to always keep my spiritual radar going. Help me always be looking to whom I can bless, whom I can encourage, whom I can exhort, whom I can heal in your name, who I can have a word of knowledge for, who I can give sound counsel. Lord, help me always be ready and willing to do that. Lord, help me to not put so much emphasis on time, but help me to have the free time to be able to minister. Lord, I apologize for the time that I have not done this. But Lord, I thank you that you're not out to condemn me, but you're out to spur me on, to encourage me, to say, let's go after this together. Watch me use you in a great way, Van. Lord, I thank you that you are our biggest cheerleader as well, that you want to see us do well. And Lord, when we see these things, we'll be able to enjoy them and rejoice with you for all eternity for these things. Because the things that we're going to be doing is eternal. Lord, right now, I thank you, Father, that I'm going forward and many, if not all, of this congregation is joining me. We want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to do this. And we embrace the challenge in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, church, let's do it. Amen. Be blessed.